WildTalkRadio.com.
The Wild Talk Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure a show full of passion and excitement.
The king's coming! He's coming! He's coming! Yes, he is! Yes, yes, yes!
WTR brings to you The Rack.
Just so you know, there's no one or no way to protect you now.
Featuring two women bringing to you their opinions.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
And their high-pitched squeals about the world of pro wrestling.
The pain and suffering has just begun.
With your hosts.
If any of these ladies misbehave, I give you permission to spank them.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Jackie Feist.
Look at me, woman.
And Lindsay Warwick.
This is one vicious vixen right here.
Now, through hellfire and brimstone, it's The Rack.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Welcome tonight to The Rack. I'm, of course, Lindsay Ward, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jackie Feist. How are you, Jackie?
I'm very well. How are you, Lindsay?
I'm fine. Yes, as you can tell by the intro music, tonight is a very special squeetacular night. Because tonight is, in fact, our beloved, fantastical, wonderful Kane's birthday.
I have my noisemakers ready.
Yes, she brought the noisemakers, I brought the liquor, Rock brought the cake, and hopefully by the end of the show we'll all be nice.
Full and drunk and happy.
Yeah, we'll all be full and drunk and happy. And Rock, as of course we are joined by our producer, Rock, this is your penance for the Michael Cole shit on Monday.
God damn it. Screwed.
You are totally screwed, you bastard.
Now, he's been having nightmares ever since he figured it out that we were going to be on the air on his birthday. You're pretty fucked, dude.
Which we brought up to him Monday night after the Raw post show. Thank you very much. And he's been crying, begging, pleading ever since. But no, sadly, to no avail, you don't get out of it. So rather than killing you, you just have to sit here and listen to us squee over Kane.
Yeah, we could kill you, but then it's like, that's not... He doesn't suffer quite enough, I don't think.
No, if you kill me, you two suffer, because you have to find a new producer, and the only other producer is one named Tim Stein.
We'll just give him liquor, and that'll be fine.
Sure?
Works for me.
You really want to put up with Tim?
Well, no, I don't know. We'll see how I feel about Tim after the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got a little special present from Tim this show, don't you?
Yes, and I tried hard to get at least a scale from 1 to 10. How bad is it out of Rock? Nothing.
You're evil.
I know.
God, I was like, ugh.
Just evil, 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 evil.
Tonight,
bad producer.
Tonight, Jackie's playing the role of Omega. Same.
You know, it's not bad enough that, like, I think it was the last episode of WTR that I was on as a guest before I was put on the show. I think that's when it was bad enough. I already had to say one good thing about Tim Stein, which took me the whole rest of the show to think of something. So it's not like I've been punished enough, really.
You must be new to the Wild Talk Radio Network because you're never punished enough here. You're constantly being punished, even if you do nothing wrong.
Yeah, I'm learning that.
You're constantly being forced to suffer and be punished because, yeah, we're just evil here. That's how we roll. So, being that it is the God of Fire and Sex birthday, we figured we would go ahead and we would kick off with a bang, so to speak, and we're going to kick off with the Kane Squee of the Week. So, Rock, if you wouldn't mind.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
You know, honestly, I was kind of waiting for one of two things to happen, either for Jackie to leap out of the cake or for him to just choke slam everybody.
Yeah. It's like, so what happened after they sang Kane, wish Kane happy birthday in song? Oh, he choke slammed all of them.
The entire arena burst into flame and everybody ran out screaming because that's how he rolls.
Well, I don't know if you guys noticed, because you only got to hear a clip of it, but since Lindsay showed it to me when she first decided to pick that one, there's some antagonist in the crowd screaming food fight. And as we looked through some other WWE birthdays, including Vince McMahon and Triple H that are on YouTube, it usually turns out that way. There's always cake being thrown, but not this time. And I got to admit, I was a little disappointed. I mean, you know, there's always talk of Kane covered in whipped cream or chocolate sauce. You know, why not cake? I love birthday cake.
Do you want to be... Well, no, I'm not going to ask that question because I know you would be the one that would want to throw the birthday cake at him. But, I mean, you know, as far as the WWE roster is concerned, do you really think any of them want to throw the birthday cake at Kane and suffer the consequences? I mean, come on, I'm sure as you're throwing it at him, it would just incinerate into flame and ash and just go into nothingness before it ever hits him.
Right.
So that's probably why they just, you know, didn't even bother.
Right. Yeah, probably. Which sucks for us, but no, well.
Yes, Rock, Jackie has excellent aim. She'd hit it for right for the part that she wants the most. Just saying.
Well, I mean, there would be no point because it's covered by tights.
Well, that would get him to take off the tights, wouldn't it?
It would. Good point.
And then that way we could get Kane to loose his pants, just like Eric Young and Mr. Anderson did on Impact Tonight, for no apparent reason. And then he could say, but I already took my pants off. So, yeah. Just saying, you know, we have a plan for everything.
Okay.
Remember, Rock's, you wanted me to host this show.
I know.
Ross kind of just like kneeling in a corner, just hoping he makes it through. So he's like, okay.
I'm going back to be quiet now.
He's going to be crying by the end of this. You're going to hear Rock crying on WTR, or on CB Radio, I should say. Like, oh, God, why did I let them go on Thursday?
And we do have other things to talk about this week, but just expect periodically for me just to randomly have a happy and blow my noisemaker. You know?
Yes. We wanted to at least give a segment to Kane. We didn't want to dedicate the whole show to Kane because, well, we learned from the Taker episode we don't want to talk 2 hours about Kane because that can get a little boring and a little hard just because it's how many times can we squee over Kane in 2 hours? You really don't want to know. So, yeah, so we actually do have a couple things that we need to talk about. And first, I think we need to talk about the biggest news of the day other than Kane's birthday. What do you think?
I agree.
If you've been living under a rock, this morning it was announced that WWE superstar Rey Mysterio got suspended for 60 days for violating the wellness policy again. And I ask, how the hell do you get popped for the wellness policy when you're on fucking medical leave for an injury? How do you do that? Also, what are you doing?
Yeah, I found that. I found that funny. And the only thing about it that was worth it, at least that made it win, was all the jokes that started popping up about the tag team name for Rey Mysterio and Evan Bourne.
Personally, I like Bourne High. That was pretty good.
Yeah, Bourne High, I like that one. If you go, I saw it on various dirt sheet forums. I saw a pretty long list of Lords of Pain, but there were some in other places too. It was funny.
Yeah, so I mean, it's, again, we were talking about this earlier, and it's just, really, dude, the only thing we can figure is that they probably tested him around WrestleMania to see if he was ready to come back, and that's when it popped up. We don't know what he got suspended for. We would hope that it's not something illegal, but it very well could be, because really any other medication, whether it be painkillers or steroids, he could probably produce a script for. I don't know why he wouldn't have a script for it, but yeah. Just because, you know, he is recovering from a knee injury, so steroids do help in that case. Not saying that he takes them, but, you know, same thing for painkillers. But, yeah, just to get popped while you're on leave for injury, yeah, that's pretty impressive. That almost beats Evan Bourne for getting popped twice in a row. and then breaking his foot.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, Rey Mysterio didn't injure himself anyway, did he? No, okay, we're good. Nope.
Well, not yet.
Not yet, yeah. Keep him away from any kind of vehicle.
Yes, keep it. Well, he was showing off his swords on the latest Superstars toys on the WWE YouTube channel, which I don't know if y'all watch that, but they have the WWE Superstars show off their various collections. Natalya has a pretty impressive collection of shoes. I'm a little jealous.
Oh, yeah, I've heard.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little jealous. I kind of want to raid her closet. But, yeah, Rey Mysterio was showing off his fish tank and his swords and his action figures and all other stuff. And he seemed to be moving around pretty well, seeing as he went out for a knee injury. But, yeah, I woke up to that this morning and looked at Twitter and I saw Rey Mysterio was trending. And I'm like, oh, God, what the hell happened? And then... looked at it, and it's Rey Mysterio gets suspended for 60 days. I'm like, you stupid fuck.
Poor Rey.
Yeah.
Poor Rey. We enjoy your additional 60 days off. We'll see you around SummerSlam, which I'm sure they're kind of kicking him for. I'm just curious, but do we think there will be any additional repercussions? Because we know that releases are coming up.
I don't think he'll be released, but... they're probably making sure he's reminded that he's on his last legs. I mean, you can only have two. That's it.
He's already gone through his two legs. He's about up to his sixth or seventh replacement on his legs.
Oh.
That was cold.
That was cold, Rock.
But it's true.
Doesn't make it any less cold. Makes it more funny. Doesn't make it less cold.
Seriously, dude.
It's kind of true, but... I don't see a title in his future. I think he'll be doing a lot of jobs when he comes back.
Oh, I imagine he will too. I mean, we'll see. He'll be back in time for what, SummerSlam?
He was targeting to be back in May, so if you add 2 months on that, that's June, July. Maybe, yeah, SummerSlam, I guess, even if they put him on there.
Yeah, so... I look for Ray to be punished, same thing with if they bring Evan Bourne back, because... yeah, you know, depending on when Evan's foot heals. Because he didn't hurt himself on company time, so technically can't they release him anyway, even if he's hurt?
They could, but I don't think they would.
Mm. I mean, yeah, I expect if Evan comes back, and I say if, big if Evan comes back, I look for him to be doing a lot of jobs and basically being everybody's bitch for a while.
But that was different than when?
Well, you know, they did actually give him a belt. He did have a shiny, pretty belt with Kofi. So, well, not pretty because it was the Michigan State belts, but...
the copper penny.
The copper penny belts, but he still had a shiny belt, so...
yeah, that's true.
You know, that was better than where he was going, which was being everybody's jobber. So he was on the way up. They were giving him a small push, and then, yeah.
He was trending upward now, not so much.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, speaking of trending, we would like to thank everybody who participated on Monday Night Raw, or at least I would like to thank everybody since I didn't get to do it Monday. It was a huge success. We learned a lot. We had, 400 and something tweets?
529
tweets for hashtag Michael Cole is a moron. So, yay. Thank you very much. One thing we learned is that apparently WWE is buying their trending topics. Because Kofi Kingston was trending and only 14 people were talking about it, yet we were tweeting Michael Cole is a moron and... nothing. We had 539, so...
what's up with that?
Just saying, yeah.
Yeah, just saying, you know, it's Michael Cole. So, yeah, we learned that Impact Wrestling is not the only one buying their trending topics. Apparently, so is WWE.
And speaking of, aren't we doing a new one this week?
Yes, we are. Came up with it on Monday. We want to see if we can get a little bit more traction with this one, just because we think it will have a little bit more traction. So this coming Monday, which marks my return for the Raw Post Show, because I don't have to work Monday. Yay!
Yay.
Yes, I'm back. Yay. God help you all. Jackie's going, sweet, I don't have to do it with Rock by myself anymore. And I don't have to write up the show anymore and send it via email and get annoying little stingers, such as Michael Cole talking, which I'm still going to get you for Rock.
Yeah, I told him he was pretty much a dead man.
We're going to hold him down after the show, and I'm going to beat the shit out of him. So, just saying.
Just saying.
The new hashtag is going to be hashtag down with Laurinaitis. So if you could include that in any tweets concerning Raw. Yes, I saw the retweet from Tyler Rex jersey. That was awesome. So, yeah, down with Laurinaitis. We could also do down with Michael Cole, but let's do down with Laurinaitis first. Just to see if we can get it trending, just to see if we can get it out there, and see if we can actually get it on TV. Or at least prove that again, WWE is buying their topics.
Yeah.
So, yes, and we will reiterate this annoyingly throughout the rest of the week. I think there's a graphic up on Facebook.
Not yet. There will be this weekend when we start to really push it.
Okay. It will be pushed starting when? Sunday? Saturday?
Saturday, I guess. Saturday. Just check Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
Just watch our Twitters, our Jackie and Rock's Facebook, because I don't advertise my Facebook. But, yeah, you can follow me at Lynn's Ward on Twitter. You can follow Jackie at Jackie Feist, F-I-E-S-T. And you can follow Rock at Wild Talk Radio. Just watch our Twitters. And we'll start pushing it, letting everybody know when we're going to go. But, again, it's pretty straightforward. Hashtag down with Laurinaitis during Monday Night Raw. And get as many people talking about it as we could possibly can to see if we can duplicate at least the 539 tweets, if not more. Because knowing that everybody hates Laurinaitis, even more than Michael Cole, I'm pretty sure we could get that one out there.
Maybe if we get enough people to do it, maybe to the point that we trend, maybe Tim will buy us an island.
Don't hold your breath on that one.
No. That's like Tim listening to this show.
Oh, he's going to listen. I know he's going to listen.
Tim listening to any show. It just doesn't happen.
If he's got some kind of question plan for me, dude's going to listen. Just to hear him be tortured.
Tim's not listening. He never listens. He didn't even know what the segment we do on this show. Just saying.
Yeah, he thought we do quick hits. It's not quick hits, Tim.
Well, how about this then, Rock? If he's not going to listen, then there's no need for me to answer his question.
It's called an archive. It's called an archive.
And he's probably not going to listen to the archive either.
Oh, I can clip it and play it someday. Doesn't matter.
Shut up. No, this is the whole thing. I'm trying to get out of answering his stupid question.
You can't do
that. You're not getting out of it. We won't let you.
No, we're not.
You still have to contend with us. Never mind, Tim. You have to deal with us. But speaking on Raw.
Yes, speaking about Monday Night Raw.
I think we need to review the show just a little bit, or rather, I need to review the show just a little bit, because while I do email my thoughts in, I don't get to talk fully on it, and this is the last week we're going to do this, possibly, because, again, I'm back on Monday night. Yay, no more work on Monday nights.
Yeah. Anyway, Raw.
Raw, yes, Raw. Just some general thoughts on a couple things. I thought the contract signing, at least in the beginning, we were all a little confused as far as why they opened the show with that. And it's like, okay, well, they must have something planned for us. They must be ready to do something, because you know they're not going to give the big segment away up front, or are they? And it turns out they actually did, because we got Edge.
Which is epic. Yeah,
which was epic. I had a squee like you would not believe, because it's just to hear Alter Bridge again. I have to concur with Rock. I am not an Alter Bridge fan, but oh my god, to hear that music. Oh, how I have missed it so.
Great song.
Great song. Great entrance. Great everything. Yeah. And great promo by Edge on to Cena. We know it's not going to really do anything. John Cena's still going to get his ass whipped come Sunday, but it was a fantastic promo on Edge's part, and at least in my opinion, it definitely helped to open the show right and get your attention, because I'll be perfectly honest, I know I've been pro-positivity and everything, but I was really not looking forward to Raw this week just because it was a three-hour ungimmicked Raw, and they are coming off a two-week European tour, which means they're all going to be fucking dead.
Yeah.
We should make note that Edge was in town because apparently word got out that his contract is up and Vinnie Mac goes to John Laurinaitis, get Edge here, right now, let's talk.
Yeah, Edge even made note of it on the show. His contract was supposed to expire, I think, next week.
Mm-hmm. May 1st, I think.
May 1st, and they brought him in last minute to negotiate a new deal and re-sign him to stop him, I guess, from going anywhere else. Not that I think he would, but
it was to give him the extended Legends deal, not an actual Legends deal, but more of a Shawn Michaels, Austin-type deal.
Yeah, I was getting to that. Thanks for stealing my thunder, you bastard.
Sorry.
But, yeah.
Well, one thing I want to bring up about that, it's very hard to tell what of the dirt sheets, you know, what's said on there was true. But there was talk about the fact that they had offered Edge some kind of a contract, and they kind of lowballed him as far as the amount, because the story was apparently that Stone Cold and Shawn are physically able to take bumps and come back and do something even for just a one-off, but Edge is not. So they tried to lowball him and he got mad. And maybe that had something to do with it getting out that his contract was coming up.
Well, I think also it was I think they were figuring that Edge would just sign anything put down in front of him, and that obviously wasn't the case, but I think it does warrant some consideration on his part that, yeah, he can't bump anymore. So he can't come in and do what Michaels did at Mania. He can't come in and do, you know, Austin coming in and stunning everybody because he can't spear anyone. So I think that does warrant some thought as far as should I get the same amount as Michaels or Austin? And here's a question for you two. Is Edge as big a name as Austin or Michaels? Does he deserve that high of a payday?
No.
No, he's not. And I don't say that to disrespect Edge, but I think in the case of Austin and Michaels, no one's as big as these two. I mean, there's a lot of people that I would say, oh, he's a way bigger star than them. But Austin and Shawn Michaels are in a league of their own. Other than Taker, I can't think of a whole lot of people right now that anywhere near that level. Maybe Mick Foley.
Piper,
you know.
Piper, yeah. But yeah, I mean, so it's definitely not worth their time or Edge's time to lowball. But at the same time, there should be some consideration made for the fact that Edge is not the name that Michaels or Austin are, and also that he cannot bump. And he really cannot travel much anymore, because from what I understand, the flights bother his, or the altitude bothers his neck, which is understandable. I mean, that's part of the reason why he left, but again, it's just certain, you know, the medical condition needs to be taken into consideration a little bit.
Right.
Because if they're just going to bring him in to cut promos, great, but after a while, it's just going to be like, okay, dude, what next? You know, you can't really do much, and that's apparent, so. But I do like the fact that they are at least trying to re-sign him.
Yeah.
And if they put him under a deal, that means at least we'll see him. I know we'll see him every year at WrestleMania, because that's when they trot the Hall of Famers out, but
think about that. Edge is one of those guys that they trot out now.
Once a year with Shawn Michaels.
And The Undertaker.
And Austin. No, Taker's not there yet.
Well, he's still the once a year.
Well, that's still up in the air from what I hear.
Yeah, true.
Taker came out of short of a sore back, which if you looked at the dude's back after the match, it's kind of understandable. Taker came out of the Hell in Cell otherwise completely healthy. He looked great at Mania. He was moving well. Obviously, with the wifey getting ready to pop out a kid, we probably won't see him come back, but there is always the chance that they could bring Taker back for SummerSlam or for Survivor Series just to maybe have him come out more often than WrestleMania, especially with Lesnar now back in the company. We could see some interaction between those two.
You want to go?
Yeah, you want to go? Yeah, we're going to see. If nothing else, they'll bring The Undertaker back just so Brock Lesnar can rip his arm off and beat him over the head with it, because if those two tried to have a shoot MMA fight, Taker would die. Very, very, very quick, painful death. I love you, Taker, but yeah.
No.
Brock would take you apart in a heartbeat, honey.
Might want to use the brain this time.
Yeah. Use the brain between your ears, not the one between your legs. Just saying. But, yeah. As far as the contract signing at the end of the show, oh, my holy God. Oh, my God. Whoever decided to give Brock and Sean Laurinaitis an open mic for, what, 10 minutes? Needs to be shot. God love Brock. He tried. He tried. He really did. But the poor boy can't string a promo together to save his goddamn soul. I mean, he said the same thing twice in a row.
After these demands are made.
Yeah, and of course, yeah. After these demands are made as well. And it was, yeah dude.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
Yeah, no. And it's like, this is the time where you're sitting there waiting for Paul Heyman to show up.
That's the point where you're praying for Paul Heyman to show up.
You're begging for Paul Heyman to show up. But, by the end of it, it was just like, oh my God, when Cena came out, it's like, I hate saying this, but it's like, oh thank you God, somebody, something, because after a while, you're just sitting there and you're going, this has actually been a pretty good Raw, and you're gonna end with this. You're gonna give Brock Lesnar a mic, you're gonna let him talk, and we're all gonna have to shoot ourselves because this is awful between Laurinaitis and, Brock.
No, Jersey, no. No. No, 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 no.
Oh,
no,
God.
No, for Brock. No, no.
No, they're not. You know what? Honestly, I'm not at all in any way concerned that that's going to happen, because they're not going to put her on TV. She was, what, in her late 30s when she was on TV before? What, she's in her mid-40s, near 50s? No, they're not going to put a 50-year-old woman on TV, no matter what she looks like.
Yeah, no. Rena doesn't need to show up. I wasn't a fan of hers originally. Or at least the last time she showed up. I'm not a fan of hers now. You know, keep the wives off TV. That's all I gotta say. Keep your wife at home with the kids.
You hear that, Taker?
You hear, well, not going there with that one. But, you tried, you failed. But yeah, just keep the wives off TV. That's all I ask. But yeah, I mean, as far as the ending, Brock's promo was abysmal. He wants to be Vince, basically. And when he started demanding things like the jet and to be, you know, it's Monday Night Raw starring Brock Lesnar. And, you know, basically he wants to have all the decisions go through him. I'm like, so he wants to be Vince?
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's like, and that's when I was waiting for, you know, like Hunter or Vince himself, or even Stephanie, to walk out and be like, no.
Yeah, me too.
You, especially Hunter. He's the quote-unquote COO of the company. You know, you would think that he would have some say in the talent running amok over the general manager. Especially when Johnny Ace bent over and took it up the ass and was like, yeah, okay, I'll give you whatever you want. Just kill Cena.
Kill Cena, kill. Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. But I will say this. When Cena finally got out there, and they finally did the signing, and they actually had the signing, that kind of made up for it a little bit, just to see Cena afraid of someone. To see Cena walk out there with a chain around his wrist, and he's standing there, and he's not even really putting any force behind it, and you can tell. He's just standing there like he's thinking about it, but he's afraid to.
He's becoming human.
He's becoming human, which I liked, and it was a great way. But I will have to say, again, you have Brock essentially, quote-unquote, being the bully, and you have Cena, who is the spokesperson for your Be a Star campaign, Rise Above the Hate, all that good happy crap, given to the bully.
Yeah.
So that kind of sends a mixed message for that. But otherwise, I thought it was a great setup for Extreme Rules. I thought the overall show was great.
Right.
I loved Kane locking Paul Bearer in the freezer.
Yes.
We'll talk about more of that in a minute. Let's go to break.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to go to break. So we will be right back for more of The Rack. And this is Lindsay and Jackie Rocker with me. Yes, and happy birthday, Kane.
Happy birthday, Kane.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insight from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when CB Radio throws a party.
You guys ready? We got 21 of these for Will, or...
Are we going to do the 21 shots for him? 21 gun salute.
So you guys are going to go over.
I'll be giving myself a 21 wink salute.
So didn't need to hear that.
I'm good. I'm good. Okay, note to self, don't shake head. Quick, let's get these shots going.
So at what point are we betting at what shot each just falls out?
I'm not going to fall out. You also have to remember, I'm Irish.
I barely have 17 years. I got 3 more shots left. So.
No, your 21 should just be one big shot. Just gulp it.
19, 20, and 21. Triple shot.
Wait. So you want me to quadruple shot it because of the fucking good luck shot?
No, that's quadruple.
Yeah. Yeah, quadruple shot it. Oh my god. That was a lot of fucking alcohol. I made it to the 20 fucking one gun salute with the one for good luck.
How many people did I get wasted tonight?
Oh, here comes the
god.
Oh. There's your horse, Your Honor. Only turned 21, spell.
Keep in mind, Will, this is all for you.
Well, Jabber almost fell down his steps, so...
Only the landing. I got down all the steps easily, but the landing confused me. Because it has that turn. Sorry for
this is
myself.
How we party on TV radio.
Sick.
What did I do here?
That was Jobber. Hey. Rob, that was Jobber who just broke.
That was me.
That was Jobber.
Oh, even worse.
Ew, the boundary looks disgusting.
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get. only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
If you're joining us after the Kane Squeeze segment, well, you're in luck because there's more!
I'm just very happy today.
Yes, welcome.
I want to tell everyone what I did yesterday, too.
Okay, what did you do yesterday?
I had the once-in-a-lifetime pleasure and opportunity to go to a town hall meeting hosted by Mr. Ron Paul.
Oh, so jealous.
Oh, it was great. I have to say, though, I was kind of disappointed by one thing. It was advertised as a town hall meeting, and he didn't take any questions. That kind of bummed me out. But, I mean, I'd never seen him speak, but he's always influenced my beliefs and the beliefs of a lot of people who have, in turn, influenced me. So that's another reason why I'm in such a good mood today. And I got the whole 50-minute speech as a video digital recording.
So. Yes, I've seen it. It's epic.
It's very epic.
Very epic, very awesome, and so jealous. I'm hoping he comes here. I think the Utah primaries are in June, so hoping he comes here and he speaks because I am so there.
Yeah,
but,
great.
Speaking of Ron Paul and libertarianism, let's talk more about the world's most evil libertarian.
Nice segue.
Oh, wait a minute. Why are we talking about you, Lindsay?
No. There's a libertarian more evil than me, in fact.
Ooh.
Nice shot, though, bitch.
I'm going to step away now and go.
Rock's going to go pop the popcorn. He's going to sit back, and he's just going to watch the cat fight ensue.
Cat fight!
And unlike the WWE Divas, we will actually have a fight, and one of us will probably beat the shit out of the other one. And I'll get my ass whooped because she can take me easy. But, yes, back to topic at hand. There is a more evil libertarian. In fact, he locked his father in a freezer.
Get it right, yeah. He relocked him in a freezer.
Yeah, relocked him in a freezer. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we had Kane on Raw, and he was hot. God, he was hot. It was so fucking hot.
I know.
And we got a nice little promo out of him, and if you didn't see Raw, there were two surprises. Edge was one, and the second one was in this segment where we had Randy Orton get a little payback, or attempt to get a little payback on Kane for the attack on Orton Sr.
Yeah, attempt is kind of the key word there.
Yeah, Randy Orton apparently went and got none other than the one, the only, the unkillable Paul Bearer out of the WWE warehouse where I think they store him, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
And I actually saw this on Twitter, and I had to laugh. Somebody compared Paul Bearer to Kenny from South Park.
Nice.
And I have to concur. Paul Bearer is the WWE version of Kenny because no matter what you do, you can't kill the fucking bastard. He just keeps coming back.
So Taker has buried him alive, thrown fire in his face. Kane has pushed him off the top of a ladder. Albeit on purpose. I mean, not on purpose. what else has this man had done to him?
He wasn't he put in the crypt?
Yeah, he's buried in concrete. Yeah. He's been lit on fire. He's been thrown in a freezer. He's been thrown off the top of a ladder. I mean, God, you go back and you look at how many times Paul Bearer has died, and it's almost as much as The Undertaker.
Ooh, I've been tempted to just want to say, oh my God, they killed Paul Bearer, but it was almost like too obvious.
Took everything I had not to tweet that at him.
Yeah.
Especially after I saw that, but
and that was the other thing. Lindsay, you weren't here Monday, so I told Rock this, but I know I told you when it happened. This must have been something that had been planned for some time, because there started being rumblings around that he was going to come back. And he said, you know, why is it you people don't understand that I'm done with a full-time schedule? I'm too old for this. I'm not coming back. And for anyone who knows me knows that I worship the ground that Paul Bearer walks on. And never would I ever say anything to be offensive to him in any way. But he made that statement, and I was just like, well, you know, the last time you said that, you did come back. And I was like, so, yeah, I mean, we may very well see you. And he replied back with whatever.
Well,
so
interesting.
I got whatever, and he did come back.
Well, interesting you bring that up and you say that, because if you go to PercyPringle.com, you can look at Paul Bearer's blog, which is percyspots.blogspots.ca, and you can see his blog that he writes there. And he actually wrote about Monday Night Raw, and I'd like to read it.
Sure.
God willing, I can get through it, or at least the segment that is relevant. See, my appearance this past week on Raw was a last minute creative idea of the company. I had been in Las Vegas most of last week with the annual Cauliflower Alley reunion and didn't receive the request for my one-time, all caps, return to Raw until Saturday morning. Of course, I jumped at the chance no matter what the plans were. It was a win-win situation for me. Will you ever see Paul Bearer on WWE programming again? Never say never, but I wouldn't hold my breath if I were you. My ship has virtually sailed. And then he goes on to say, I have absolutely no intention of returning to the WWE or any wrestling company for that matter in any type of full-time position. I will continue to work with independent promotions, wrestling conventions, reunions, etc., as I have been doing for the past few years. And then he goes on to talk about the comedians on his Twitter account and basically tells them to fuck off and so on and so forth. But yeah, so I know you got whatever, but I tend to believe him when he says he's not coming back full-time.
Oh, I believe that too. I mean, I agree with him when he says at his age, it's just not good for him. I was just kind of peeved because it's like, yeah, I was right and you whatever me. But yeah, so, I mean, it was good to see him back. It was kind of sad for him the way it ended, but, you know.
Rock brought this up in chat afterwards, or we were talking, was it Monday night or Tuesday night?
Monday?
We were talking after I got home from work, and Rock brought up an awesome point that would have just been a great way to close out that segment. Which, if you don't know, by the way, let me finish telling you what it was. Orton has Paul Bearer tied up in a wheelchair. He's beaten up. And basically, Orton tries to bait Kane into a trap by pushing Kane's father, poor dear Uncle Paul, into a freezer and locking him in it. And then Kane responds by saying he's not going to fall for it, that he's not going to save Paul Bearer, which proves what an evil bastard he really is. And God, I love it when they let Kane be that evil. But so basically Orton and Kane fight, and that's how the segment ended until later in the show, where Kane comes upon the very freezer where his poor father is supposedly locked in. And he opens it up and goes in, and sure enough, Paul Bearer is still in there. Brother's shivering and freezing, and Kane pulls him out. And Paul thinks he's saved, and he's so happy, only to be told, no, I'm not going to save you. And Kane throws his father back in the freezer.
Poor Paul.
Yeah.
Poor Paul.
Poor Paul.
That's what I found to be mean. I mean, it wasn't just that he didn't save him. It was that he went and opened the freezer just to tell him, I'm not going to save you.
Which
I love. Big red bastard.
I love it when they let Kane be that evil. It makes me so happy. And I'm not going to lie. I laughed. I laughed harder than I should have, but I laughed. Just because, yes, it was a win.
Yeah. It's but, always yeah. good to see him on TV.
It's always great to see him, but what Rock and I were talking about afterwards was, wouldn't it have been hilarious if after Kane walks off, the freezer door mysteriously opens and Paul Bearer is pushed out, and who is pushing him out? Why, none other than The Undertaker. And Taker
awesome.
Just walks off with him.
Which really leaves a lot to the imagination. You know, why did The Undertaker walk off with Paul Bearer? What is he going to do with him? It just leaves a lot of questions. So it would have been pretty epic.
Jersey, if we could get Bearer on the rack, we would be so fucking happy. Believe me, we've tried. And he's about as impossible to get as Kane.
Yeah.
He really is. He is very difficult to get. But we have tried and we will continue to try. But, yeah. Love those two segments. Loved. Loved, loved, loved.
Not like, loved.
Yeah, loved. For a lot of reasons, just because it was like, oh my god, it's, cause I remember sitting there thinking as Randy's talking, it's like, god, wouldn't it be awesome if Paul Bearer was there? And sure enough, there's Paul Bearer! It's like, wow, creative actually got it right!
Say what?
Say what? So yeah, that was kind of awesome, but, and I will say this, the surprise of Edge and Bearer made that Raw so much better.
Yeah.
It really helped it, considering the fact that it was extremely promo-heavy, even though the promos we got were pretty good, and the matches were just eh.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're pretty much
none really stand out in my mind. They were all pretty dead tired from Europe, which I can understand, and jet lag sucks. But another awesome segment, which I have to gloat about, or not gloat, that's the wrong word, but talk about, is Punker.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P.
Yeah, dude, that was my thing. Lindsay, right now, you're sober. Well, you're sober, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can you, at this point, recite the ABCs backwards?
No. I can't walk in a straight line either. Which the line was not straight! It was curved, goddammit! But yeah, no, I can't do that. I don't know anybody that can. Apparently CM Punk can't, even though he got damn close. If he hadn't flipped the S and the T, he would have been right there. But,
maybe he was drunk. Just saying.
Maybe. Punk, there was some pretty good acting on the show. Punk was acting drunk, and he did a pretty decent job of it. And I remember saying that to Rock, was, as he's walking down the ring, even in the back, it's, he's acting drunk. Oh my god, did he actually drink the bottle of Jack? I'll be so proud of him if he did.
Our Punker is all grown up now.
Our Punker's all grown up and he took his first drink with Uncle Jack. Oh, he's still my little beating heart. But, you don't know, I'm a big Jack Daniels aficionado.
No way!
Didn't know that at all.
No.
Squires for life, baby. But yeah, Punk was acting drunk. Jericho was all giddy. They had the worst cops in the world out there that are the stupidest cops. I'm not sure which. Where they basically pronounced a sober man drunk just because he was either acting that good or they're that stupid. Or they were paid to. Thoughts?
It was well done.
It
I
was
like
well
it.
Done. Especially since it was a trap and Punk was in fact sober, and he owned Jericho and beat the crap out of him, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
I did too.
Especially when he started walking the line and walking backwards and doing a moonwalk, and yeah, it was just...
He did a moonwalk, he did the Ric Flair strut.
He did it all, and it was awesome. And I love the comment on Twitter he made afterwards.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, well, that was fun. But I was a little disappointed because they were talking about him, I think, taking a breathalyzer.
Yeah.
In the back, and again, they had him do the field sobriety test, which was way the hell more entertaining. But, you know, you would think that the cops would make him, as part of the field sobriety test, make him blow a breathalyzer. That's what I was waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all too easy to say, oh, he blew a point,
zero?
Whatever. Yeah, point zero?
What?
Well, let rest him anyway. It worked for Angle and Hardy. Oh, wait. but, yeah, so... Love that segment. That's why I love Punk. It was entertaining as crap.
Yep.
Jericho was acting like the perfect little bitch. It was a perfect setup for the match.
Yes, which we're going to get into the matches later on in the show.
Yes, we are going to do our picks tonight for Extreme Rules. Yes. Don't worry.
Don't worry. I know you're all backing on Echoes tomorrow. You're going to go to the websites where they allow betting, and you're going to take our picks and you're going to bet with them, and you're going to make a lot of money. We know this. So we're going to give them to you.
Yes, just saying. We get a cut.
Right. But I know, Lindsay, you know, we were talking, and we kind of figured, you know, this show on Monday was award-winning. There was a stellar star that we need to nominate for award.
There is. There was a fantastic performance that is just completely, totally award-worthy. And so, do you have it ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
For best performance by an actress in a leading role, it's... None other than Beth Phoenix!
Yeah, that's pretty epic.
I mean, good fucking God, she sold everybody!
Yeah.
Push that woman hard!
Brock was absolutely convinced after Monday night that that was real.
I was. And
he was. Did you see the way her ankle bit? That was totally real.
It was!
We went back and we watched it!
Yes.
Like six times. And we're like, oh, yeah, look at the way it bent. Oh, and look at how she landed on it funny. Because the way she was selling it, especially after it bent in the ring, and then she hesitated. She wasn't putting any weight on it, and she hesitated jumping off the ring, and then it gave on her. Just that whole bit right there, you're going, okay, yeah, that's got to be legit. And then at the end, when they have the trainers out there, and she's taking her boot off in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, typically when they do that, that's a sign that it's real. And I think that's what sold everybody, was her hesitation and her selling of it, the fact that she was crying, which we normally wouldn't see Beth do, and also she's taking her boot off in the ring. You've got the trainers out there, they're looking at it.
Well, my thing was, the reason why I didn't think it was real was because I was looking for the X.
Yeah, that was the only thing that was missing was the X.
That was my thing. I was like, where's the X? I don't see the X.
But they don't always have to show the camera guy, the referee on camera giving the X, so... But it looked so real, and who knew she had that kind of acting ability?
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty stellar performance on her part, and again, push her. Push her to the moon for that, because that should prove to you right there. She did such a good job, she sold people in the back. Like, there were workers in the back who thought she was legit hurt. So yeah, if she did it that well, push that woman. Push her to the moon, please, for the love of God.
You have a diva that can sell.
Very well.
That should be enough, just right there.
She can sell and she can cry on cue. What more do you need? But, I've been reading reports, and if you go and you watch the Raw post show on YouTube, I forget what it's called, the Backstage Pass or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Beth on there talking about it afterwards, furthering the sell where she's getting her MRI done. And it's kind of interesting because she says everything but that it's karma, which would have been awesome. Because if you've been reading internet reports, and I'm not going to spoil it for people out there, kind of makes you wonder what else is coming, doesn't it?
Something has been getting some discussion time about whether or not that one thing could happen. And I tell you what, if it does happen, oh, Lord, you will hear a scream coming out of Texas and Utah that you will never hear again and probably would never want to hear again.
Yeah, it's you can go find the reports. I'm not going to spoil it for everybody because I don't like it when people do that for me. But, if what they're reporting... especially with Nikki Bella picking up the title. Yes, I actually remembered her name this time. And the only reason I didn't write it down in my write-up was because I missed which Bella was actually defending or fighting.
Whatever, they're both the same.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention. You know, it's like, oh, it's the Bellas. Tune out. If what's going to happen is supposedly, you know, does happen, oh my god, yes, this will be amazing, and I will be a happy, happy girl, and so will Jackie, and so will a lot of people.
Did you say yeah. amazing? Did you say amazing? Did you say amazing?
Amazing what?
I think she did say it would be amazing.
It might be amazing. It might also be awesome.
Yes, it would be awesome. So karma and awesome, put two and two together, folks. But yeah, let's see. And it's not on the rundown sheet, but I do want to bitch a little bit. So Eve is essentially now John and Laurinaitis' slutty secretary.
Yeah, dude, there was this thing, there was a comment she made on, she's pretty much become someone who just puts herself in situations where you can just make all kinds of fun of her. She's like, I got a new position. I was like, I'm sure you did.
I'm sure you're great in a lot of positions, honey. Especially in that dress, which it looks like they seriously cut it off. They hemmed it, and they cut it off right below her crotch.
Right.
That had to be the worst dress I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. That was just kind of one of those just... Especially, well, see, I wasn't so much concerned about the bottom. My thing was the top. I mean, it was like, we're going to make a dress just for the sake of putting your boobs out, and that's about it.
That dress was just no. I'm sorry, that was just no.
Yeah,
and
I've seen Vicky Guerrero wear better than that.
Well, Vicky can cover it up top. She wears the shorts, which she shouldn't, but she can kind of cover it up top. But I realized the reason why David Otunga wasn't there afterwards. I'd like to apologize concerning my statements concerning Otunga. I'm sure he was supporting his wife.
Yes.
Who had to testify on Monday regarding her mother and her nephews. And there was another one, her brother?
I think so.
Murders. So, my heartfelt apologies to Jennifer Hudson and David Otunga, and I hope all is well on their end. Props to them and support to them, and good night, Jersey Girl.
Night, John.
So, yeah, it's... I apologize to Otunga, but we should see... that should offer an interesting dynamic when he comes back. What do you think?
I think so. I'm seeing possibly some jealousy issues between David Otunga and Eve?
Yeah. Just a little bit, unless they're going to move Otunga out of the manager role, which they're kind of stupid to do because he's perfect for that role, and move him more into the wrestler, which God help us all.
Basically.
No, that's stupid. But yeah, you're a better manager than you are a wrestler. And that little Paddington 1960s Audrey Hepburn cape thing you got going on.
Stop it.
That's gotta go, man. Only girls wear that kind of shit.
Only girls and Chris Masters wear that kind of shit, and you're not Chris Masters, so stop
it. At least Chris Masters had a cape. His isn't even a full cape. It's like, it's literally like a, I don't even know, poncho.
Poncho.
So, yeah, it's just like, dude, it's not working. No, fail. No, 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 no. Stop it. But, yeah, I think that kind of sums up Raw. What do you think?
I agree.
So, looking forward to the pay-per-view. It was a nice go-home, good way to spend a three-hour show. Got a little long at the end. Please don't get Brock Lesnar or Mike ever again, unless you're going to get him a manager.
Unless he has anything other to say than Brock smashed, we just don't need to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all he has to say is Brock. And he doesn't even have to say that. He can basically just laugh at Cena and hold up his fist, and that's everything he needs to say.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I mean, it's, yeah, just please, no more Lesnar mic work unless you're going to do those pre-taped MMA-style promos, which that was fine. But, yeah, no more Brock promos. I beg and plead with you, please, no more. But on that note, I'm ready for a break. What about you?
Me too.
So, all right, you are listening to The Rack, and we will be right back.
And I dream broken dreams. I make them come true. I make them for you. I make dreams come true.
What's that matching on my ear? Perhaps the end is drawing near. You never hear the shot that takes you down. Now your dreams are memories. Seems more true from far away. Just like smoke that fades and makes no sound. Out of time, don't say goodbye. What is yours now is mine.
People always ask me why they should listen to Wrestle Talk Radio, and Lindsay and I are here to tell you why.
You need to listen for the smart, intelligent, and insightful comments from the end-all be-all of the Wild Talk Radio Network, the one, the only, the Omega.
Oh God, did he tell you to say that?
Well, of course. It was part of his dictation.
Oh God, Lindsay.
What? I can't help that he gives good dictation, and you know what happens if I don't take it just right.
Anyway, you need to listen to Omega and everyone else on Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Plus, Omega looks really good in a Wonder Bra.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
I can give two shits about My Little Pony, but that's a terrible way of keeping a collection.
Yeah, I was just waiting for Omega to say that.
Holy fuck.
I knew it.
Well, Omega can be into My Little Pony all he wants. You know, I
some hideous pastel pony gangbang. No secret that I, yes, I do have a lot of Transformers. However, I am not I am not so fucking creepy that I actually have the bed sheets too.
The question is Omega wearing the underoos as we speak?
Busted!
Gotta keep his bumblebee safe somehow.
You will no longer refer to my dick and balls as bumblebee. I will have my balls have nothing to do with Shia LaBeouf.
There's a visual. Shia LaBeouf driving Bumblebee, and it turns out to be Omega's undercarriage.
No, just stop.
Picturing that.
I'm not picturing it. I'm giving everybody else a visual.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tired of the same old view of Monday night wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night, just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw, only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Well,
that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
T
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Welcome back to The Rack. This is Lindsay, and I'm joined by Jackie and Rock. And if you're still listening, God bless you and thank you, because, yeah. So, by the way, Rock, are you trying to kill Omega with playing the CB radio and the Wonder Bra commercial back-to-back?
He's not listening.
I know he's not listening, but on the off chance he's going to air it, are you just trying to, like, kill his soul? Yeah. I mean, the only better thing that you could do that is to play the Fancy Dancy Roundtable clip right after that, and then we would just hear an implosion in Florida.
We would. We honestly
Some
would.
Guy with long hair went on a murder spree in Florida today. We're not sure why.
No, he went on a murder spree in Philly.
I could, you know.
There would be no more shows because Omega's going to kill Rock.
You know, Omega respects me.
Oh, sure he does.
God, you are smarter than I.
Well played.
Thank you.
Anytime I have a bad day, I listen to that, and that makes it so much better.
That makes her happy.
Yes, I has a happy whenever I listen to that clip, because it's essentially Omega bowing down to my awesomeness. But, yes, if you're joining us, or if you're just joining us, welcome to The Rack, and, you missed us talking about Raw and squeeing over Kane, and, Kane's birthday.
I hate this damn noisemaker. There we go.
And Jackie's continually trying to blow on something that isn't Kane, and it's just not working. Proof she needs Kane and nothing else.
Wow. Okay. Moving along.
Well, you can't hurt, or, you know, you can't come down on someone for telling the truth. So, no
just
hate.
Just saying. You know, I take Omega's dictation. She tries to take Kane's when he's there, but, you know, God... Poor bastard's never home, so what's a girl to do?
And he's 6'10", 330, so I'm sure that's a lot of dictation, just saying.
I mean, you're lucky she can even talk right now.
So it's Kane's birthday, huh?
Yeah,
it
so
is.
He's
a very sexy 45 this year.
Yes.
Someone else had a birthday, though.
Yes, they did. As a matter of fact, somebody had a birthday on Monday, and it was the one, the only, John Cena! And normally we wouldn't talk about this, normally we wouldn't care, except we got some of the funniest ass shit out of this, at least in Rock and I's opinion, that we have seen in a long time, and we just decided we wanted to play it on the show because it's hilarious.
Right.
So
we have two clips. I've only pulled the two legit audio clips we can get. The other ones, you know, not the greatest of audio quality. But pull the two
so we're,
WWE.
We're playing audio, not.
I'm a bit scared now because I didn't hear about this. What is this?
The video. We're playing video, but not the fan cam video. The one WWE put out.
Basically, what it is it's two clips. As Rock said, one is.
Hold on, no. If she doesn't know about it, let's just play
okay,
it.
Okay, fine. Since Rock won't let me tell you, just play the goddamn clip.
We'll play the first one, and then, you know, we'll have the reaction, and then we'll go to the other one. It's like the, the Shockmaster thing. Let her experience it on the show. Natural reactions. Here's your first one.
Motor City! Detroit Rock City!
That's punk, right?
Yes.
A one! A two! A three!
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday, John Cena! Happy birthday!
Hopefully Punk will never be one of those athletes who tries a second career by cutting an album. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So in that clip, you had Punk, Hunter, Hornswoggle. I think Maxine was there singing. You had everyone out on the stage, including Vince. He came out right after the show and brought everyone out. So you had everyone there singing, including this giant dude named Kali. But according to Hunter, well, just take a listen.
That was very special, but unfortunately, Kali doesn't speak the language, and he missed the cue to get started, and he feels really badly. He asked if he could do it by himself.
Oh, God.
I would like a full Lillian Garcia critique of his singing immediately afterwards, please.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, John Cena. Happy birthday to you.
That is win right there.
Yeah, Rock and I were laughing so damn hard, we were almost speechless. It was just hilarious the first time we heard it. It's like we're playing this on the fucking show.
That's a win right there. It's good for him, because let me tell you something. As honestly, as a white English-speaking person who lives in an area where most everyone is Mexican and speaks Spanish, one of the reasons why I've never learned Spanish is because I'm too afraid that just in front of people I know, I'm going to say something wrong and fuck it up and everyone's going to laugh at me. So good on him for having the guts to do that in front of all of those people.
The best part of that thing is watching everyone's face as it's happening.
And Hunter conducting it.
Hunter conducting. You see Albert cracking up. You see them all cracking up, trying to keep a straight face.
Albert?
Albert. Or Tensai, whatever you want to call him. He's behind him. It's the funniest video you will ever see. It's on the WWE YouTube page.
I'll have to go check it out.
It is the greatest video ever.
Go watch it, seriously. It's hilarious. Like I said, Rock and I were in stitches. And it was literally, we are playing this on the fucking show. I don't care what anybody says. It's going on the show because it's that awesome.
It's the greatest clip ever. It made my night.
It did. It was, and we found it, like, what, right after Raw, or did we find it the next day?
No, right after Raw. We found it, like, an hour or so after Raw, just going through Twitter, and it was like, oh, my God, there it is.
Yeah, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because that was, like...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Lindsay and I were looking at videos. The only thing that was missing, because I had heard about this. I didn't see the videos, but I heard about this. The only thing that was missing was there was no throwing of cake. At just about every other birthday video Lindsay and I were able to find of them doing someone's birthday on the road, there was cake that was thrown.
Yeah, they mentioned in the actual 10-minute version on YouTube that the fan captured, they mentioned they don't have any cake, but they gave him a diva pile instead. They all jumped on him.
Oh, God.
Which I'm sure
he's probably got an STD
happy.
Or something.
So he was a happy man after that.
And I'm sure his wife was very...
Yeah.
His wife was a very unhappy woman.
Does that mean I can get, like, a cane pile for my birthday?
He would crush you, honey.
I think she would be okay with that.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah, but
my birthday's coming up soon, so Kane, if you're listening, I want a Kane pile for my birthday.
I wonder if that's an option. You can have cake or you can have a diva pile. Which one do you want? I want the cake.
I want the cake.
Just, you know, just saying. No offense, but yeah. So, yeah, speaking of, I guess, poor English or whatever you want to call it, I think it's time for some humbling and old country way, and I think it's time for the Cheeky Tweet of the Week.
It's time for Cheeky. Well, you're the one I have a sex with you. I'm the most handsome one of too many in the world, and you're the one I have a sex with me. Whoa, what is wrong with you?
A week.
I'm gonna wash your ass, and then you're gonna be hungry.
And so, yeah, who wants to go first? Who's actually got theirs?
I do. I have mine.
You do? Okay, yes. You go first.
Okay, further picking on Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's sex tape of him and Earthquake's sister because he only had the sex with either the fat man or the most ugly dumb bitch in world. For some reason, he's picking on poor John Tenta.
Oh, poor thing.
I believe Tenta has passed on. Let's, you know, let the man rest in peace. Just saying.
Yeah. And Brock, do you have yours yet?
I'll let you go so I don't steal yours.
Okay. At Rev Bob Levy, fuck the Linda. She liked to get fuck old country way worse than the Michael Jackson.
And may I just, I should ask him one day, what is wrong with liking it old country way? I wonder
what. Do we
what
even know what old country way is?
Scary. I'm afraid to ask.
Yeah. Before you say you like it, find out what it is.
Oh. Hi, Kent Kittens. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kent Kittens.
Zack Ryder becoming jobber bigger than the Steve Lombardi, but he still get over. I respect the hard work, not like Jabroni Virgil.
Nice. And yeah, speaking of the Hulk Hogan sex tape, I know this isn't on the rundown sheet, but whoever the sick fuck was that went and screen capped that goddamn thing and put the pictures out on the internet,
you deserve to
be burned alive for that. My God, aren't we all, isn't the internet polluted enough without having Terry Bollea's naked ass out there?
Yeah, and Lizzie and I were having a discussion about this earlier, and I'd be interested to get Brock's take, and if anybody wants to type something up in the chat room. On a scale from, like, okay, Rock, on a scale from 1 to 10, what is the likelihood that anyone really gives a shit about this video?
I don't think anybody gives a shit.
6.
I don't think anybody gives a shit. I think, again, like I told you earlier, it's going to be more like the China video, where it's a morbid curiosity. People will buy it or watch it just if nothing else to see it. I mean, it's kind of like a car accident or a really bad tragedy. You just can't not look away. you just sit there and you watch it just because it's, oh my God, this is sick, this is horrible, I need to turn this off, but I'm just drawn in.
See, I didn't see the China video. I honestly didn't want to see it. And now someone had told me I probably didn't want to see it because I am a straight woman. The subject was a straight woman, so of course I wouldn't want to see it. Now the subject is a man, and I still just... Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Not even with my preference for older men. I just don't want to see it.
You know, out of all the older men out there, a.k.a. Taker, why the fuck couldn't he make a sex tape? I would
Thank
be okay
you.
With that.
Yes.
You know, Hulk Hogan... Not so much.
You know, this is a nice transition for foreplay.
Yes.
Oh, God, we have to do foreplay this week.
Yes.
And you have to answer both your questions, whether you want to or not.
You know, yeah, you have to answer both.
Well, you didn't say I had to answer them honestly.
You have to answer them honestly.
So take a deep breath, and here's your fancy intro.
Ladies, it's time for you to slip into something more comfortable.
Oh, behave.
As now we get in the mood for some hot, steamy, and oh so exciting.
Come on, baby, give it to me, yes, yes, yes.
Foreplay.
Let me ask you a question, and be honest.
Live on the rap.
Shall we shag now, or shall we shag later? Where am I?
Mike Myers is awesome. Austin Powers. When? Just saying.
Yeah. At least the first two. The third one's kind of questionable.
So?
Can Lindsay do both of her questions first?
No.
We go in order. So, Lindsay, we start with you. Lindsay, what is your favorite sports memory?
What is my favorite sports memory?
Mm-hmm.
Watching the Braves win the World Series with my dad.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That was pretty awesome. The one and only time the Braves have ever done it, but still, it was pretty cool because he let me stay up late to watch it. So
move to Jackie. Kim only wrote one of your questions. Just saying, only one.
Okay.
Only one.
Is it this question?
What is your favorite thing about being a wrestling fan?
Well, I don't think that was it.
Are you sure?
Coming from the point of view of someone who's had very little social life, I've always been a college student, always been working, always been doing something like that. Being a wrestling fan gives me a lot of outlets to go out and just be a fangirl and drool over a guy and be crazy, because most of my life is actually pretty boring. It's an outlet.
Okay. Back up to Lindsay. Kind of ties into what you were talking about. Besides the recently released Hulk Hogan sex tape, what wrestler sex tape do you wish never, ever gets released?
And I can't say the Hogan sex tape?
Can't say the Hogan sex tape, because that's already out there.
Fuck. Mae Young. Mae Young, please, for the love of God, release a sex tape. Taker, please do. Please, and send that shit to Utah. I want to see that.
Yeah, either of the Brothers of Destruction should feel free to do that at any point. Even if they make a copy just for the two of us, that's fine.
And even if Daniel Bryan did release one and it is 50 minutes of yes, I can watch that shit on mute because he would still be naked. And I wouldn't mind seeing him naked either. Punk, you can do one too. Pretty much anyone with the except Mark Henry would be another one I wouldn't want to see naked. Kali, no. Who else? Oh God, now I gotta think of the roster. Pretty much anybody else on the roster, you're okay. But yeah, no. Mae Young, Mark Henry, and Kali, no. Please God, no. No. Just save the world now.
So you're okay with Lord Tensai in a porno?
Yeah, because I wouldn't have to watch it. You know that shit would sell over in Japan.
Well, they almost give you a porno every week.
Almost! Those things haven't exploded yet, by God!
They're getting close.
Oh, God.
Yes, because I can remove Michelle McCool's head, and I can put my head in her place.
Tim Stein asked, are you okay with Vicky in a porn?
Yeah, because I can just put that shit on mute.
Okay. So, I'm Jackie.
I'm going to find you, Tim, just so you know.
Why are you so worried?
Because it's a question for me from Tim Stein. This is the dirty old man. So in training.
No, training. No. Drop the training part. I think he lost his wheels a long time ago.
I would agree with you on that.
Just saying. Anyway, wait for the... Fuck you. Anyway, Jackie... If you were a porn star, what would your favorite sex act be to perform on camera?
My fucking God, are you serious? I don't think I know any of their names. Oh my God.
No, a position.
No,
what position would you want
to... I'm thinking.
I thought you were thinking of porn stars' names. No, if you were the porn star, what would your favorite...
My favorite thing to do.
Yes.
Okay, I can, based on my
my personality and me always wanting to always be in constant control of myself and always be on top of things, I'd say probably cowgirl. I'd probably like to do that the most. There,
oh, God, do I want to see this? Do I want to read this?
Might as well.
How much porn do you watch, Tim?
Are you asking this question, Lindsay? I don't think he does anything else.
Can we ask that on WTR, who watches more porn, Omega or Tim?
And I'm sorry. I have to ask. He lists two things here. How can I do the second thing?
You need a partner for that, honey.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. You would
be
the one receiving.
Yeah, no. Unless he wants to lose them, no. Just saying. And then have them fed to him? Yeah, then we'll do it that way. You'll lose them and then they'll be fed to you.
Can we fry it up?
Sure. We'll have Tim Stein Mount Rocky Mountain Oysters.
On the next edition of Cooking with Stein.
No, that'll be Cooking with Jackie Feist. Just saying.
Special edition of Cooking with Stein, hosted by Jackie Feist. Tonight we're preparing Tim Stein's balls.
Live, only on the rack. Ching.
Nice.
So, that concludes another edition of Foreplay and an aptly porn-filled one.
Thank you, Tim.
For once, thank you, Tim, and Rock for that. So, I think I want to save the Extreme Rules predictions for the end.
Okay.
And I actually want to talk about the odds and ends. Just because they're quick little bits that are a nice little segue to before we close out with the predictions.
Okay.
Tamina Snuka and Darren Young are reportedly dating.
Say what?
Yeah, and you guys go ahead and get your comments on this, because I have a bit of a rant about that.
No, that's why I put it in there. I saw your post. Go for it.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead and run away.
Okay, so sick of this. So, I have been looking around at things and watching the things that people are saying, specifically as it relates to the Divas Division. And I hear all these people say, oh, and basically say what I say. The Divas Division is pretty lame. It's nothing but a bunch of Barbie dolls rolling around and slap fighting and bitching each other. And every once in a while, Beth will carry one through a match and blah, blah, blah. And so then you have Tamina Snuka and Beth Phoenix. And now this particularly relates to Tamina, but I've heard people say the same thing about Beth. It's, they're dating. Darren Young and Tamina Snuka are dating. Blah, 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 blah. She must be a man or she must have a penis because she's so muscular. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? That number one, it just gets frustrating that a woman cannot be physically strong and physically dominant in a professional wrestling setting without having her sexuality or femininity questioned. And they did the same thing to Beth. Oh, blah, 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 Beth has a penis. And I'm just like, can we please either just be a bunch of stupid sexist pigs or be professional wrestling fans, one or the other? I mean, it's like, you know, we finally get some divas that can wrestle, and the same people that are bitching about the lack of wrestling are down their throats. And I'm like, God, can you people please just STFU?
I think that's a victim, unfortunately, of the model-esque wrestlers that they now have moved to. People are used to the perception of the divas being the skinny, pretty girls, and so when you see a woman that doesn't fit that type, where she's more strong, she's more muscular, she gets those comments, because they said the same thing about China too.
I remember hearing comments about China at the time. Instead of them saying she had a large penis, oh, it's her clitoris is like 7 inches. I'm like, oh my God, are you fucking serious?
Yeah, so I think that's unfortunately just a victim of the culture and everything else, unfortunately. And it's a shame that women like that are ridiculed.
Yes, it is.
Because, you know, women like Tamina, like Beth, like China in the day, not so much now,
no,
were absolutely beautiful.
They were. And they are.
And they are. And, well, unfortunately not so much China. I'm sorry.
She's
let herself go, and she's not as pretty as she was, but she's still good looking.
But fucked up in the head. Nice. She's yeah.
fucked
She's
up in the head, completely fucked up in the head, but good looking.
Yeah, I preferred her with her square jaw than I do the way she is now, I'm just saying.
But, yeah, and that's unfortunately just a victim of the culture. And that's not just in wrestling, that's all women. You know, if they don't fit a certain way, I think it might be, and Rock can shoot this down if he wants, an intimidation factor where men look at a muscular woman who's, you know, defined like that, and they think, oh, that must be a man in a wig.
And I think what's most disappointing about it is if Rock, if you know what I'm talking about, you saw the post that set me off. And when you consider who it was that said that, that's what made it more disappointing.
Who said it?
God, what is his name? I don't even remember his name, but I know he runs a big professional wrestling group on Facebook, I think, and I think he has a website as well. It was the guy who put out the picture, whoever runs the website that put out the picture of Taker looking at the, you know, when that picture was released of Taker before he came back, looking at the pictures of Triple H and, you know, the big collage of him when he made his return. It was the guy who runs the website that got that picture.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, aren't you supposed to be a smart, aren't you supposed to know better? And it was just like, I was so disappointed. It really was.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's just a culture thing and unfortunately maybe a little intimidation and, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a victim of it, unfortunately, but, yeah. Fuck you for people that say that, but...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What are you laughing at?
Sorry.
He's still talking to Tim.
No.
He's laughing at us. He's mocking us.
No, I saw a picture. I laughed.
You saw a picture and you laughed. You're gonna send. Did you send us
yes,
this picture?
I did send you the picture.
Right there. Oh, he did. All right.
So stand by for picture and laugh.
I saw that earlier today.
Yeah, I saw that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll post it in the chat room as well. Yeah, that's a laugher.
That's a laugher. Yeah, that's a win.
Yeah.
But and other odds and ends, we have. Speaking of the fact that, well, let me try that transition over.
and take two.
And take two. We can edit that out. For those of you that don't know, the 3-hour Raw this week was technically supposed to be the draft show. However, WWE called off the draft, I guess, until later in the year, if they do it at all. And so, typically after the draft, we start to see releases happen. We'll probably see them, we were guesstimating, maybe next week after the pay-per-view.
Still could be.
Possibly even after the earnings statements come out in early May. Because I think those are set to come out May 1st?
May 1st or May 2nd, something like that.
So we were expecting to see a slew of releases here in the next couple weeks. But unfortunately, the first release has happened, and it was none other than the Tough Enough winner for 2011? Andy Levine, however you say it.
The next contestant on TNA Gut Check.
Yep, yeah, pretty much.
Come on down.
And I'd like to rant on this a little bit. Because Bill DeMott and them were talking on Twitter. I don't know if y'all follow him, but, you know, just because you win a contest doesn't mean you have a guaranteed in. But it's if you win a contest on TV and you get a guaranteed WWE contract... and you still get released, yeah, you need to consider other career options, my friend. Because just because you have the height, just because you have the look, apparently means you don't have the skill, because he's been down in FCW now for, what, a year?
He was in FCW before Tough Enough.
Yeah, that was my thing. And he just, I don't know if it was him, I don't know if it was bad luck, but just from day one, literally, this is a guy who got his ass chewed after they first found out he won, went backstage, got his ass chewed. So he had issues.
Well, he was on Vince's shit list because he sold something wrong on Raw when they had him on there.
Stunner.
No, sold a Stone Cold Stunner.
So, yeah, so he's been on Vince's shit list from day one. Then on top of that, he got picked for a wellness violation.
Oops.
Right after he won, by the way. And then it got leaked on the internet that he was in FCW prior, which wasn't said on the show, and that he actually did have, I think he did have a contract, didn't he? That they let him out of to do the show.
Same with Alicia Fox's sister.
So he was essentially one of the plants in the show, won the show, got his contract back, and still couldn't get over, and still couldn't get through the system. Yeah, dude. Career options. Look at them.
You know how to use a plunger? Plumber.
Huh?
So does he know how to use a plunger?
God, I hope so.
That'd be a good future job for him.
I mean, I liked him. I thought he was, he seemed like a nice guy, but yeah, he's just, I know his gimmick was Silent Rage, but he was just too quiet for me. I don't know how many people out there watched Tough Enough, but I thought there were, and I don't know how many were plants and how many weren't, but I thought there were a couple other better options than Andy. I mean, even the guy that he went up against in the finals, I thought was better. And I know you can say he's the standard vanilla midget wannabe Miz guy, but you know what? He probably could have gotten over because he had the personality, he had the charisma for it, and he had the ability in the ring. Also, they had Matt Cross, and they cut him. Martin Kazius got hurt. I think that's how you say his last name. But Martin's actually a local guy from Salt Lake, so I try to tout him, but who's really good. But he got hurt and was cut due to injury, but yeah. There were so many other better options on that show, and they picked Andy. Why? I don't know, but they picked Andy.
Yeah,
silent
that was unfortunate.
Apathy. Yeah, that's a good one, King Kitten. Silent apathy. And I don't know if you saw the other reactions from the Tough Enough stars on Twitter, but some of them have been kind of funny.
No, I missed that. What did they say? Do you have any of them there?
Matt Cross posted a video saying that he was tough enough, and it showcased his ROH work and his indie work, which some of it is pretty goddamn fantastic. AJ basically posted a, you know, see you don't want to be ya kind of thing. I told you so. You weren't going to make it kind of deal. I haven't seen anyone else's. Those were the two that at least caught my attention because I follow Matt Cross and then AJ's got, comments got posted on, a couple news boards.
Well, AJ's in some trouble himself right now, isn't he?
Or I don't know if it was AJ, it was somebody else, but yeah, AJ's in some trouble too because apparently he went to the Cauliflower Alley Club. I can't talk. And he tried to start shit with Bill DeMott and Steve Austin, and I'm not sure how well that went. I haven't heard anything out of him since, so.
It's because he's dead.
Yeah, he's probably dead.
Here lies AJ Kirsch.
Yeah, I mean,
Stone Cold.
He fucked with Stone Cold. He got his ass handed to him, and they left him dead in the middle of the desert. And nobody gave a crap.
No, pretty much.
So, yeah, those are the kind of the odds and ends. Best luck to Andy. Again, career options, dude. Look at them. This was a question that was brought up, I think, on the round table. And I actually want to ask this. But surprise releases with them coming, who do you think would be a big surprise and who do you think is almost guaranteed?
That was Jackie's foreplay question last week.
Was it?
Yes.
I'll ask you that.
Biggest surprise release? I guess The Miz, maybe, but apparently, you know. A-Rod is a good one, too.
Yeah,
I don't know. I would have to look at the roster. Let's look at the WWE roster, shall we?
And we go to WWE.com. Follow along, kids.
Let's follow along and see who's on what show and where and I thought they had it separated, but, I hate their new thing. Let's scroll
through. They don't have it. They have it separated by Divas, and they have it separated by,
Let's see, Camacho, maybe? I don't know.
I don't think Camacho, just because I think he's on his way up right now. He just, from my understanding is that he was in FCW.
Ezekiel Jackson. He could be
gone. Oh, I hope not. I'm not saying I disagree, but I just really hope not.
JTG, probably gone.
Yeah.
I was going to say Heath Slater, but he has that feud pending, maybe. Mason Ryan could be a one, maybe.
Well, there's one thing that we didn't talk about last week that we could bring up this week, and that's Rex and Hawkins. And how they were fired on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And they were working the internet on Monday, and they're continuing to work the internet where they're trying to save their jobs. Storyline or legit?
I am going to say that if I would not be surprised to hear that Rex was let go after the whole mid-card mafia thing as it relates to he mentioned Chris Benoit in one of his videos. That's just not. No.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're both gone.
Yeah. Unless they save Hawkins just because he trained with The Rock and The Rock needs a sparring partner. But you have Miz and Truth for that, so. Or you have really anybody on the roster that could do that.
He also trained with Michael McGillicuddy, so he's still there.
That was going to be my next one. What about McGillicuddy?
I would hate to see him go just because he's got a lot of talent.
Yeah, and if he's not over right now, I honestly have to say it's because of that stupid name and all in of itself. I think he would have a lot more draw if they would just let him go out there and be who he is.
Yeah, that's why my one argument is that I understand, and this goes back to watching the Legends Roundtable that you were sending me, that in some cases, changing the talent's name to hide the family name is a necessity just because they may not be able to live up to the father. But you have Randy Orton, you have Cody Rhodes, you have other guys, you know, you have Ted DiBiase in there with their family names. Why not let McGillicuddy go in there with the Henning name? Why not let Husky Harris go in with the family name, which I'm not sure what the family name is there. Because he's got a cup. Rotunda?
He's IRS Mike Rotunda's son.
You know, why not let them go in with that family name just because at least Henning would be a little bit more difficult just because everybody remembers Kurt Henning, Mr. Perfect. But yeah. Rotunda isn't a big enough of a name that people, you know, outside of the old school marks really remember. IRS has been out long enough now that you could have him go with that family name. I just think it's a little stupid that they don't let them use that.
Yeah, and I don't think, Rock can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he ever was Mike Rotunda when he was in WWE. I think he always was Irwin R. Scheister.
Yes.
I believe so, unless he was back in the early 80s.
The only time he's ever, if memory serves, the only time that he's ever been referred to as Mike Rotunda on WWE TV was on very, very, very early when on Monday Night Raw when Vince effed it up. They were trying to get a hold of him as IRS, and I guess Vince was supposed to say Mr. Scheister, but kept calling him Rotunda. But it was an accident. He wasn't supposed to do that.
Early 84 to 86, he came in as Rotunda. When he tagged with Wyndham in the WWF.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
My bad, then.
It's called reading but Wikipedia still, as we're doing this.
But again, it's called 84.
Yes.
And it's now 2012. So, you know, again, the old school hardcore marks would probably remember that. But, you know, we had to look it up. So, yeah, it's just I wish they didn't do that, you know, where they didn't take away their names. You know, I get they're trying to give them a character, but I thought the whole point of the business was that they develop a character, they develop a gimmick, and they work it. You don't give them something. Or if you give them something, they're supposed to develop, but I thought that was the whole point.
Well, in this, I guess I can understand where they're coming from, that they don't want him living off his father's name. Okay, but your idea, the whole Michael McGillicuddy thing, didn't work. Sorry.
But
you could argue, that, you know, DiBiase lived off his father's name, still technically is, because he hasn't gotten out of that shadow. He hasn't even gotten his ass over. Rhodes, when he first came in, lived off the family name, still kind of is. He's getting over, but he's not there. Randy Orton came in, did the same thing. I mean, every time they've introduced a second generation or third generation star, they have introduced them with their father, at least recently. They didn't do that, I don't think, with The Rock. But
they did in 97, after the first few months Rocky Johnson started to appear.
There you go. So, I mean, they use the family to get the new guy over. They've done that in the past. I mean, I get they cannot do that with the Hennings because Kurt Hennig has left us.
Right.
But still, you could let them use the name.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it. Basically, the way I see it is, this is a creative decision. The character that he has right now is not working. It's not over. And Joe Hennig has everything in the world going for him. He's still around for a reason, despite the fact that he's not over. And if in normal circumstances, if it doesn't work with one angle, I'm looking at you, Lord Tensai. They change you to another one. No matter how awful it is. So, I mean, I don't think it's worked. I think it's time to try something different. I would like to see him be Joe Hennig myself, but we'll see.
Well, it's more, he's got to be on TV to get over. And well, right now, he's not on TV.
He's quite a bit on NXT. I don't know how many people actually watch
TV.
NXT.
We said TV. That's internet.
He said TV. That's internet. He, you know, the main shows, Raw or SmackDown, he's not on either one of those.
No, he's not.
And, you know, it's like, great he's on NXT. Great he's on Superstars. How many on this panel right now, out of the three of us, watch both those shows?
No.
No.
No. I know Jackie watches NXT on occasion. I don't watch it at all. I know Rock doesn't watch it, or maybe you watch it on occasion?
No. I've maybe seen a clip here and there, but that's about it, and that's once every 6 months.
Yeah, so I mean, I know NXT and Superstars are over in the international markets because they're on TV there. And so, yeah, that's great that he might be over in the international markets, but he's not over in the U.S. market. If you want to make him a star, bring him on to Raw, bring him on to SmackDown. Have him be somebody's enforcer. Have him be something.
Star him like you did with Rhodes and stuff. Have him be part of a group.
Yeah. Put him with Ted DiBiase.
There you go.
I mean, for fuck's sake, have them be a tag team. Worked with Legacy. It'll work here. I mean, you know, if nothing else, because I think they're both rednecks, they both like to fish, hunt, there you go. Boom. What?
Well, you're from Alabama. I mean, you're from Atlanta, excuse me. You don't like to fish and hunt?
No, that's not.
Oh, okay. I thought all people in the South like to fish and hunt.
No. You gotta go more west from Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you have to go out from the city. I don't hunt because it's too early in the morning and it's too fucking cold.
Yeah.
And I don't fish because I refuse to touch a worm.
Yeah, so, me too.
Yeah.
I got you on that.
I don't mind fishing if somebody else puts the worm on the hook for me, but I'm not touching a worm.
Yeah.
You will see the most girly reaction from me ever. And I actually want to touch on Tensai, because I think Tensai could work if they altered that gimmick just a little bit. If they got rid of that stupid robe, that stupid hat, and the little surgical mask that he rips off, and they made him more modern, it would work. But
he looks like a shogun out of a bad movie.
Yeah, he does. He looks like a shogun out of a B movie. And I don't mind the fact that it's a big fat white guy playing a Japanese part. Because, you know, honestly, to say that he's not, you know, Japanese looking, as in the tan skin, black hair, slanty eyed, is kind of racist to me. You know, just because he does not look Asian does not mean he is Asian. You know, there are people born in Japan that grow up in that culture that are all different shades of color. You know, white, black, brown. So it's, to me, race and look, that isn't a factor. What it is a factor is how they have him dressed, how they have him styled. The Shogun look doesn't work for me. If you want him to be, have him be, you know, Lord Tensai, why not have it be a more modern Japanese? You know, either go with the anime route, with the cosplay route, with the goth route. I mean, there's so many different cultures over there and styles of dress that are huge that you could have him do that you could still get over as Japanese if you did it right. I think they're trying to do it too cultural. They're basically trying to make him Santino and it's not working.
Yeah.
They're trying to make him into a stereotype and that's where the problem lies. So if they stop trying to make him a stereotype, it might work. And also, please get the man pants. I'm begging you right now, WWE, if you are in the sound of my voice, get that man some fucking pants. Please. That fit that gut of his.
It's a PG show. If you don't want anything popping out, then it needs to be covered.
If he's wearing at least 3 pairs of trunks, there's a problem. Because he's got the red ones that are itty-bitty, and then he's got the under ones, and then I'm sure he's got something on underneath holding everything in. So, yeah. Just stay in WWE, you know, let's just, you know, work on that just a little bit. Just a little bit. So.
I gotta agree with her on that. I'm sorry. I just do.
Yeah. It's
pretty scary.
Also, I'm kind of getting sick of the squash matches. I granted he's kind of, you know, developing a little bit with starting to pin people, but let's develop his personality just a little bit. Let's give him one.
What's that?
Depth, personality, character development. You said you supposedly learned it. I want to see you apply it. I mean, one of your writers apparently does know how to complete a character arc, that or... Because we saw that, the Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels thing, unless they did that.
Bravo. So, bravo, King Kittens. Bravo.
Yep. We don't want to see Lord's Tensai. We don't want to see it. At all. Only his wife wants to see that.
She probably doesn't even want to see it.
The lights are off when that goes down. Lights off, blackout curtain. You're stumbling around, you can't see, so yeah. But we're not going there.
No, please not. No.
It's no. Not.
No, on.
We're not.
Please.
We're not. We're a PG-13 show. Most of the time. And I think we've hurt that one to death, so... I don't see any other news or odds and ends that we really want to bring up. Does anybody have anything else they want to bring up?
No, but I want to bitch. I want to bitch about Extreme Rules.
You want to bitch about Extreme Rules? Okay, well, let's bitch about Extreme Rules.
So, as I quoted in our rundown, how is a Chicago street fight different from a Falls Count Anywhere match? And what exactly defines an Extreme Rules match? WWE.com breaks down each match type for Sunday's Extreme Rules pay-per-view and provides the guideline.
Oh, God.
And I actually have that pulled up so I can read through it if you want.
Please, 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 please.
So we're going to start with the A John Cena.
No, skip that. That's previewing the show.
You want me to skip that, but it's the first slide.
But that has nothing to do with the matches. It's just previewing.
No, I was on the preview. Or I was after the preview. I was on the second slide.
Oh, second slide? Okay. Okay. Go.
God!
Well,
you said pushy?
You said John Cena. He was on the front page.
Yes, and if you actually go through it, the second slide is the John Cena Brock Lesnar match.
But I see Jeff Hardy.
Yes, it says Extreme Rules match, Jeff Hardy, and it's talking about Brock Lesnar,
okay,
John Cena.
Okay, go.
God damn it!
Sorry.
Don't make me hang up on you. So, anyway, am I going to get interrupted?
No.
Okay. Basically, WWE describes an Extreme Rules match... as anything goes. No DQ, no count out, Victory can only be achieved by pinfall or submission, and weapons can be involved. You can use garbage cans, ladders, kendo sticks, fire extinguishers, and possibly a pot, my personal favorite, a potted plant to the head.
So that's Extreme Rules, right?
That's Extreme Rules, and that's John Cena versus Brock. And do we want to do picks now, or do we want to wait?
No, go through, because I want to pitch after this, and we'll go through the match. Through it.
All right. 2 out of 3 falls is kind of self-explanatory, and God damn it, I don't want an ad, you piece of crap.
Skip this one. This has nothing to do with it. It's not my pitch.
Well,
skip the next
one. Well, you're going to have to stall, because I have to get back to WWE.com, because I got an ad.
All right. let me read the next one. The next one is the Chicago Street Fight. The only way to win is by pinfall or submission. With no disqualification and no countouts, a Chicago Street Fight breaks down to which superstar is able to incapacitate his opponent. The first and only other match of this type took place at WrestleMania, and laid the foundation of brutality as Ahmed Johnson and LOD battled Nation of Domination. So, we had Extreme Rules saying it's basically pinfall, no disqualification, and countout, no countouts, right?
Right.
We just read the same thing for Chicago Street Fight, right?
Right.
Let's go to the final one. Falls count anywhere. Pinfalls can take place anywhere in or around the arena with no countouts and no limitations on where to clash. Superstars can take the fight anywhere they like, as Cody Rhodes and Rey Mysterio did in their memorable encounter at Extreme Rules 2011. Anything goes in a falls count anywhere match. You said
so
there
it's
were
the same three steps over and over and over again.
They said differences. They said differences.
I'm telling you, the Chicago Street Fight is either going to take place in a pizza place, an alleyway, or Al Capone's vault.
I just needed to have that put out there. They said, how's it different than the other? They're not different. They're not. There's no difference. No DQ, no count out. Anything goes. Just saying.
Yeah, that's a little weak, guys. I'm not even gonna lie. You know, you say it's different, and then you put the explanation right there in front of our faces, and I guess you figure we can't read that, or we can't process, because those, I'm sorry, are the same three steps. Again. And again. And again.
The one difference, pinfalls can count somewhere else in one match. Everything else is the same.
Yeah.
And one has, you have to win at least, you have to get at least 2 pins or 2 submissions. Everything else appears to be the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's make some previews and predictions.
Yeah. Telling you right now, don't necessarily have the highest of hopes for this pay-per-view, but I will sit through it and watch it anyway, just because there's a part of me that actually kind of does want to see Brock Lesnar versus Cena, just to see Cena get his ass beat. But starting first in the rundown...
Start at the bottom and work our way up.
If you weren't paying attention, there was a Divas match that was added with, I guess, a stip to be named. WWE's Divas Butterfly Claire's Belt Championship going to be defended by Nikki Bella, your reigning and defending champion as of Monday, versus Beth Phoenix. Jackie, who you got?
I'm going to go with Nikki Bella, just because I have to say that I agree that there's going to be some kind of something from karma, so maybe interfering against Beth Phoenix, which would get Nikki Bella. That would get Nikki Bella disqualified, so that kind of beats my purpose. Anyway, one way or the other, I see Nikki Bella walking out with that belt, is what I'm saying.
Alrighty. Rock?
When did Karma debut last year?
May? April, May? She debuted right after Mania because she retired Michelle McCool.
This is where I'm going to quickly look at something. Really quick. Anyway, I'm going with Nikki Bella to retain her title, because the other one's too injured, and I just think they're going to keep the belt off her.
Here's the thing that's interesting about this, though. If Nikki Bella retains, that pretty much almost seals up that they resign.
No,
unless she's going to turn around and lose it on Raw.
Yeah,
because the first is Tuesday.
That's my feeling.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're feeling, is that I'm going to go with Nikki on this one, with shenanigans from the other one. Just because then you turn around and you have the surprise, since Jackie already spoiled it, Karma show up probably on Monday and take her out. That or Beth will be too hurt at the pay-per-view. They'll need somebody else to fill in, and then that's when you have Karma show up.
That too could happen. That's actually a pretty good one.
Where Beth's ankle is too hurt, she can't compete, you have Karma show up, and you have to take the belt off Nikki that way, and you send her out on her back. But at this point, there is no indication the Bellas have resigned. I think this was a swerve to kind of throw people off the scent a little bit of, oh yeah, we're going to put the belt on Nikki. Yeah, they're not leaving. But, you know, with the reports coming out that this is a way to bring Karma back, yeah. I'm going to have to believe that this is the swerve and they're going to bring Karma back to have her take the belt off Nikki.
And also, and weren't the Bellas Karma's feud when she left? Oh, I hope you're still here when I get back.
Yes. Yes, they were the ones that were making fun of her for being pregnant and fat. And so, yeah, so she'll probably take him out and send him away. And then we'll hopefully have a build for Beth versus Karma at SummerSlam.
Someone did some crafty editing on Wikipedia. The match is not listed there, but I know it happened because I just went on WWE.com. Last year, Layla defeated Michelle McCool in a Loser Leaves WWE match, and guess who debuted at Extreme Rules 2011?
Karma.
Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah, because she gave Michelle the implant buster, and I laughed for like 20 minutes. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on. So, yeah, somebody did some clever editing, didn't they?
They took it out of the results. It's in the recap now that I see it, but I went down right to the results, and it's not listed there.
Karma's debut or the match?
The match. They talk about it in the thing now that I'm actually reading the full thing, but I went down to the results, and there was no Layla versus Michelle McCool listed anymore. Crafty editing, I must say.
I wonder if they took it off of Michelle McCool's page, too. But she's with child, so she cannot return.
Right.
Thank you. So, anyway, moving on. I think we're all taking Nikki with possibly...
Karma
shows up.
Yeah, taking Nikki because we expect Karma to come back. Again, if this was a shoot, there's no question. Just saying.
Yeah, if they didn't do the injury angle on Raw, I would say Beth all the way. But with them doing the injury angle, with Nikki taking the title, and with the rumors that Karma is set to come back, I would have to say Nikki keeps it, and they take it off her on Monday Night Raw, and they send the Bellas out on their back. Unless they bring Karma in to replace Beth, and then I say Karma wins.
Right. Nikki beats Beth, or Nikki loses to Karma.
Either way. So that's what I'm calling there. But next match, which I guess is, again, another stip to be determined.
Mm-hmm.
Pay-per-view Sunday, guys. It's Thursday. You may know, maybe want to set those stips now.
Let's see. I'm going to go back to WWE. Put it out there. I'm looking.
Yeah, unless they do something on SmackDown and they announce the stips on SmackDown. Yeah, it's Thursday. You kind of need to set those if they're going to have them. We have Big Show, who is your reigning and defending, going against Cody Rhodes. So, while Rock is looking that up, Jackie, who do you think is going to go home with it?
Oh, I am very hopeful it'll be Big Show that goes home with it.
Okay.
I'm not convinced, but I am hopeful.
At Extreme Rules, the next chapter in the show, Rhodes rivalry will be written yet with the match's exact rules yet to be decided. All bets are off. This is coming from WWE.com. I'm with Jackie. Big Show.
Yeah, I'm going to have to concur with Big Show. It's just, even in a legit fight, Show would squash Cody. So in a staged fight, Show will squash Cody. I mean, WrestleMania is any indication. Cody got his ass handed to him then. Extreme Rules with everything, with all bets off, as they so nicely put. I'm going to have to believe Show's going to take it unless there's interference on someone else's part.
Del Rio maybe, but who knows?
Del Rio possibly, but even then, I doubt it. They'll keep the belt on Show for a little bit longer before they decide, because I think they're still trying to decide if they want to set him and Kali as a tag team.
Oh,
and when they get set on that, then I bet they'll take the belt off Show then.
Please no. I don't want to see Kali and Big Show as a team.
I miss Kane and Show as a tag team.
I thought that was pretty
epic.
Yeah, they were kind of awesome. And speaking of our hero, whose birthday is today. Jackie with her noisemaker. We have Kane versus Randy Orton. Falls count anywhere. Rock, what do you think?
Kane, even though I'm going to be wrong, I'm saying Kane.
All right, Jackie?
I learned my lesson at WrestleMania about betting against my man. I'm going with Kane.
You don't know how much it's been overused, Kane Kitten. She's been blowing that thing all night long.
She's been blowing Kane all night.
Yeah.
Is that better?
That was an extra long blow of Kane.
Yeah.
I
wish. She takes his dictation all night long.
I wish.
Again, we're gonna have to find something to agree on. I would like to say Kane. I'm pretty confident Orton is actually going to win, but I'm not gonna pick against Kane. It seems like, again, they have nothing really to do with Randy Orton after this. And they've actually done a semi-decent build on this. So, yeah, I would like to see Kane go over yet again. Just because they gave Orton the win on the Raw after WrestleMania, or the SmackDown after WrestleMania. So, yeah, I would like to see Kane go over.
And every time Jackie's been blowing Kane, it gets bigger tonight. Bigger and bigger.
You didn't go there, didn't you?
I did.
So, next up, we have the Extreme Rules match with Brock Lesnar and John Cena. Are we all just going to take Lesnar on this one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. They didn't bring Brock in just to lose in his first match. And they've kind of sort of made Cena look like the bitch in this, which I've actually enjoyed. And I fully expect them to beat the shit, for Brock to beat the shit out of Cena, and for them to hopefully send Cena off TV for a little bit.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Please send Cena off TV, let Brock go on a rampage, and Cena comes back and is the only man that can stop Brock once the kryptonite has worn off. But yeah, they're building Brock too much up as a monster to just have him lose.
There's no way he loses. No way.
Yeah, he's not going to lose this match. Later on down the road, possibly, but not the first match in.
Personally, I think it would be funny as hell if Brock lost. Just, you know, just because there was this build, and then he's, you know, he loses it, and he's going to be real pissed off, and he's going to be even a more angry heel at this point. But I would love for that to happen, but I don't think it will.
I would love for that to happen as well. And if that does happen, I still see him absolutely destroying Cena afterwards.
Yeah.
Just taking his rage and frustration out on Cena and doing something similarly to Josh Matthews. Or what he did to Josh Matthews, I should say. But yeah, yeah, I don't see it happening. That's just me.
No, me neither.
So, moving on, we have the World Championship, which will hopefully take longer than 18 seconds, mm-hmm. in a 2 out of 3 falls match between Sheamus, you're reigning and defending, versus Daniel Bryan. Jackie.
Sheamus. I like this, what I'm seeing out of Daniel Bryan, this heel. I want to see him be more douchey and annoying before they give him the belt back. I think he will get it. I just think he's on such a roll right now. I kind of don't want to see them change anything that they're doing.
Okay. Rock?
Sheamus.
Sheamus?
Sheamus.
Like an Irish dessert?
Yes. Sheamus is going to take it. Daniel Bryan's not going to get the belt back.
I would have to, again, god damn it, we need to find something to disagree on.
These picks are one-sided, I'm telling you.
These picks are pretty much one-sided. Yeah, Sheamus, they're not going to put the belt on him at Mania just to take it right back off him again. I actually picture kind of shenanigans in this match between AJ and Daniel Bryan, where AJ possibly costs Bryan the match again, continuing that feud between the two of them. And you even possibly see AJ turning heel in this match, where she just goes psycho on Bryan, which would be highly entertaining. But yeah.
Would that be her turning heel? It's kind of clouded now with the lines between heel and face these days.
She would go heel if she helped Bryan.
Okay, then she's going to go face. Whatever. She's going to go psycho on Bryan.
Okay. Stays the same way. She just goes psycho.
Yeah,
well, she already went psycho on Natty. Poor Natty.
Yeah, so I picture her, you know, costing Bryan the match, and he's standing there belittling her. That, or he's belittling her, and she gets pissed off and goes psycho on him. And then, you know, Sheamus takes advantage and gets the last pin.
I will has a happy if that's what happens.
But I also would have to say that expect the first pin to be very fast.
I was just going to bring that up. They had that great idea last night on just another goddamn wrestling show that, you know, either he takes the kick right away, or he out of the way of the kick, thinks he's smart, and then gets hit with the kick and gets pinned right away from the first fall. I like that idea.
Yeah. Most horrific soundbite ever. Something. We have a lot of those, especially when I host.
Oh, no, he's talking about a clip where... Yeah, I'm not going to repeat what he wrote. It's horrible. It's horrible. We just move on.
Oh, yes. That, Joe, I'm reading up in the chat. We don't talk about that, King Kittens.
We're not allowed to talk about that anymore.
We got fined for that. Just, you know, fined and yelled at and spanked, and it just was not pleasant. Didn't even get to take it the way we wanted it.
Yeah. That's why it wasn't pleasant.
Yeah. So, your last match is the WWE Championship being defended in a Chicago street fight where CM Punk, your reigning and defending champion, is going against Chris Jericho. Are we all taking Punk?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to say this. Every pick we just made, it's going to be the exact opposite on Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to get nothing right. But yeah, I see Jericho chasing just a little bit longer. The only reason I'm taking all the champions is because it's a crap pay-per-view. It's a throwaway after WrestleMania. They don't usually give a shit about it. And it's all rematches from Mania.
Basically.
Pretty much, except for two matches. Yeah, it's pretty much
Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, Kane Orton, Punk, Jericho, Show, Rhodes.
Yes, and we should throw out the main event of YouTube this Sunday.
Oh yes, the main Santino event. And
can I rant about that?
Yes, go ahead. Santino versus The Miz.
What the fuck? You can't even put it on the card? It's the U.S. title, and you can't put it on the goddamn card?
Well, the tag champions aren't on the card either.
Make the fucking tag champions do it on YouTube.
They did last month.
I mean,
they're not good enough for YouTube yet.
You have five matches on this card. It's a three-hour show. You can fit a sixth match.
We have six now with the Divas.
Fine, seven. You can put a seventh match, especially since the Divas match is not going to be that long. Your two long ones on this one are going to be Brock Cena and Punk Jericho, unless you have Brock just absolutely walk out there and beat the shit out of Cena.
Your two long matches are World and WWE title. Brock Cena will go 10, 12 most.
I don't see them giving the world title that much time.
Well, they have to. On this show, 2 out of 3 falls, they get 20, 25 minutes.
Still, you could fit Santino on there.
I know. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying.
So, yeah, the fact that you're going to have it on YouTube, and they actually, again, I'm going to steal this from just another goddamn wrestling show, because they came up with a great idea. Why don't you have Zack Ryder defend the Internet Championship on the YouTube pre-show? It's fucking genius. Other than the fact that he has not sold that belt to WWE, and it is in fact his, why not have the supposed Internet Champion fight on the YouTube show?
Booking 101.
Yeah. I mean, that is a golden opportunity right there, and you're missing it because you're putting your U.S. title on the YouTube show.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I get no Santino on this pay-per-view.
Which means that last month, Epico and Primo and Rosa were at least on the pre-show, and they did nothing but whine and bitch. So I'm expecting that now that they're not even on the pre-show, they're going to whine and bitch more after this pay-per-view.
I said meh.
Yeah, fuck them.
And nothing of value was lost. So yeah. So those are your Extreme Rules picks and my little rant about them not having Santino on the show. That has nothing to do with the fact that I'm completely in love with him and think he's awesome. I just think it's crap that you're going to belittle that title and you're going to put it on a pre-show. Go ahead and use the titles that you belittle to the point that nobody gives a fuck about them anymore and do it with the tag belts. Just saying.
Just saying. Nothing really I can add to that. You're on point on that.
Yes, you are.
So, on that note, I think we're done.
I think we're done.
I think we are.
Unless anybody else has anything they want to rant, rave, or talk about.
I got nothing.
No. Jackie? No. Nope. I got my rant out about Tamina, so I'm good.
Alrighty, well, on that case, Jackie, plug your shit.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T. Tomorrow, Alan Wojcik and I are going to be recording the next episode of Triple Talk Wrestling Radio with Teddy Prentice for our picks for Extreme Rules, which basically you just heard.
But
come and get Alan's and Teddy's picks. You already know what I think. And
they'll go into more detail on talk about each match by match in full detail.
Right, and I am on several shows on this network that you should check out, but I think I'll let Rock tell you about them.
Alrighty. Rock, plug your shit.
Saturday Night Midnight-ish. It is the 29th annual Godfather Extreme Appreciation Night. Tune in. Don't want to miss it. It's the Godfather Extreme Appreciation Night. The 29th annual. Tune in. Midnight-ish.
There will be hurling.
Maybe.
There's always hurling. Don't you hear? I mean, there's that commercial. There's always drinking and vomiting on that show.
When we throw a party, you never know what happens. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio will be on at 11 p.m. Eastern, and we'll talk Extreme Rules. And if Lindsay and I have our way, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes, we are.
During that show. Just saying. So tune in.
Am I missing something?
We'll tell you after the show.
Yeah, we'll tell you later.
Oh, we're horrible, horrible people. Anyway, so check it out. 11.
I know, that's why you're my friends.
Tune in at 11 p.m. Eastern for Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday night, Lindsay Ward returns to the Royal Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
And possibly just another goddamn wrestling show on Wednesday, but we'll see. But you got everything?
No. Tuesday night, it's 9 p.m. Eastern. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. I know one guest that's on the show. I can't remember the other, but Sharkboy will be on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
Sharkboy's going to be on Kayfabe?
Sharkboy is going to be on Kayfabe.
Oh, I may actually have to listen.
Yeah, Alan was telling me about that today.
I love Sharkboy.
So, yeah, check it out. And King Kittens is excited that you're going to be on the Raw Punch Show.
Yes, no more Sounders, King Kittens, and you missed the ass kicking of Rock.
Yeah, and I'm praying more to come. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, twitter.com/WildTalkRadio, #DownWithLaurinAndis this Monday night during Monday Night Raw.
Yes. Yes, in case you didn't hear, in case you weren't at the beginning of the show, are you all done?
Yeah, but...
Okay, new hashtag for Monday night on Raw. Get it trending. Hashtag down with Laurinaitis. We are going to try and achieve the success we achieved on Monday night. Hopefully we can actually get it trending without WWE buying topics and stopping us. But on that note, you can follow me at Linz Ward, LinsWard on Twitter. You can follow the show at WTR_rack. Please follow us. I do actually occasionally check the Twitter. So on that note,
hold on. One other plug. Go to CanadianAllPro.com. Buy tickets for Commonwealth crowning featuring Giant Divine and Vince Nevada for the Commonwealth title. CanadianAllPro.com.
Yes. Yes, buy Canadian All Pro tickets. If you buy them, Tim Stein will personally deliver them to your house.
It's a guarantee.
It's a guarantee.
It's a guarantee. So all you people from Mexico and Chile, you need to go buy your tickets.
Right now.
Do it.
So he can start driving and rowing. So on that note, I am Lindsay Ward, and for Jackie and your prof, you've been listening to The Rack, and we are out of here.
WildTalkRadio.com.